If you remember the last time I was ministering to you, I was preaching from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And if you'd like to turn with me there once again, last time I was preaching on this passage, this great parable. I was focusing on the younger son, the son who went into a far country, who rebelled against his father, and he squandered his money, all that his father had given him. He ignored his father. He showed no regard for the instruction of his father. And he wanted to go his own way. He wanted to live the way he wanted to live. I think so many of us can picture ourselves with that. We want to do our own thing and go our own way. And we saw this man and how he was a great picture of us all by nature, taking of the things of God and then going into the far country and going our own way. We have no regard for God, no concern. And yet we saw how a great calamity came into his life. He ran out of money, and there was a great famine at the same time, and he was struck. He realized that he needed to humble himself before his father and go back. And we saw him returning and rehearsing his speech, and he came repentant and and in humility. And then we saw the great love of his father as he ran out, this dignified man, a nobleman in his day, ran to his son, his wayward son, the son that has brought so much shame upon him, and clung to him and kissed him and treated him as son. We saw that wonderful grace of this father in bringing him, his son, back into his home and not treating him as a slave or as a servant, but treating him as son. He put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and the best robe on his back. And there was feasting, there was provision and joy in the house. But today I would like to continue with this parable and look at the elder son. And as we think upon the elder son, just think about him as we read this parable once again. Maybe you were thinking the last time I was preaching, but what about this older son? This one who stayed with the father. What about him? Well, here the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of him. So turn with me in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, and we'll read through to the end this whole parable once again. Then he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother who has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father's killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So we see here in this parable the elder son. All the time the younger son was in the far country, living at large, doing what he wished, doing what he pleased. Here we have the elder son in the fields, seeking to do his best to obey his father, doing all that he could to please him. But we see here in this parable, if you turn with me to verse 1 once again of chapter 15, we need to turn back here so that we can really understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to? Who could this elder son be speaking of? We saw last time that the younger son was speaking of these openly sinful people, the tax collectors and sinners. We see, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. The tax collectors, the openly sinful, those who were treacherous to the people of the Jews, to Israel. And the sinners, those openly wicked people, harlots and adulterers and all these kinds of people, came and drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And this is when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these series of parables, of which this is one of them. And so here we see the younger son, speaking of these sinners, these openly wicked people, who I likened to all of us in our hearts, who go our own way. But specifically, he was speaking of those who were the lowest in the society, those who the religious elite looked down on, who saw that they were openly sinful. And here now we see the older son, the one who was respectable, the one who didn't bring dishonor upon God's name, or didn't bring dishonor upon his father's name, who sought to live in in under the Father's authority and be obedient. And so here we have a picture of the scribes and Pharisees. Those religious elites, those who sought to do all that they possibly could to obey the law of God. Those who created many, many laws surrounding God's laws in the Bible to try and protect themselves. But why did they do this? Was it out of love? Was it out of love for God for what he has done in calling them out as a nation? Or was it because they believed that they could do enough? That they were good enough? That if they just kept the letter of the law, they could be welcomed into the Father's house? And so we see this son being just like that. And I believe that this has application in many ways to us today. I will be focusing in on one in particular, but there will be further application that I will be drawing out to the church as we go through. And I have 5 points this morning. We see, firstly, his privileged position. And then secondly, his self-righteous heart, his misplaced affections. Then we see the Father's gracious pleading and the open ending. So firstly, his privileged position. Now the Pharisees and the scribes, and indeed all the Jews, were in a privileged position. And that is likened here to this elder son. We see that in verse 25, now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. You see, he was very near. He was just in the fields surrounding the house. He was close by. He knew. He was under the instruction of the Father. He knew the Father's wishes. He knew the Father's instructions. He was close by. He was in a very privileged position. Think of a great farmhouse, more of a manor, a great mansion nestled in the midst of a vast farm or vineyard. And we see him here, out in the fields of this great estate. And yet we do also see that he is outside. Yes, he made approach, but he doesn't enter in. He was in a great privileged position in that he knew his Father. He was under the authority of the Father. And yet, he never entered in. Now, I know that there are many, many who have tuned in today to hear this sermon that are in this privileged position. You've grown up as these scribes and Pharisees. You've grown up hearing God's word. Ever since you could read, you've been encouraged to read the Bible. You've been going to Sunday school ever since you were old enough. And even before, your parents have taught you day after day the God's word, the stories in God's word, and how God is the creator and how God has laid down in his word a rule for life. How God has given us his word to reveal himself. And he revealed himself in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die for sinners. Oh, my friends, you are in a privileged position. You are, as it were, in the fields just outside. Just outside. But you've never come in. You've not come in to all that the Father has to offer, to all that the Lord Jesus Christ offers you today. You're so close, yet so far. You've got all that head knowledge, but you've got no heart knowledge. You are still outside. I wonder if you've ever been in outside a group that you really want to be part of. And you try and you try and you try to enter into that group, but you do not meet the criteria. I remember when I was younger, we had a youth group at church here called the FOY. And it's for secondary school children. And my elder sisters were going to this. And my cousins were going to this. And friends were going to this. And yet I was too young. And no matter how much I pleaded with my parents and tried to act mature and do what I could to enter into that club, I couldn't. I didn't meet the criteria. I wasn't old enough. Even when I was just a few months from being the eligible age, I still couldn't. I was so close. I could taste it. I could touch it. But I couldn't enter in. And so here we see this man that was so close. He could see it. He was within a stone's throw away from the house, but he hadn't entered it. And there are many here I know that are like this. You see, this age wasn't the issue for this man. Age isn't an issue for anyone who is hearing today. But this man had a heart issue. He had a heart issue, and so do you. All who haven't come, haven't entered in, have a heart issue. And so we see my second point, his self-righteous heart. His self-righteous heart. Verse 29a, the first part of verse 29, we read, "So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your command at any time.'" We see his self-righteous heart. He knew all of the commands his father had given. And he felt that he had kept them to the T. But he was still outside. He felt that he had done everything in his power to obey. And yet, he still didn't love his father as he should. He'd say, "I'm not like that younger brother of mine. I'm not like that one who has gone far away and has squandered everything and has lived an immoral, bad life. I've kept everything that my father has said. I've never done anything wrong." Well, is that you? What does that remind you of? I think firstly it reminds me of the Pharisee in Luke 18 who stood and went into the temple and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." What else does that remind you of? Who else does that remind you of? Well, so many people in this land today are comparing themselves with others and saying, "I'm not like them. I'm not that bad." You who have grown up in this church say, "Well, I'm not that bad. I can't see that I've done much wrong. But why can't I enter in? Why wouldn't God allow me into heaven? Why wouldn't I be saved?" You see, you're just like this Pharisee, comparing yourself with others, just like this brother. saying, well, I've done my best. I'm not that bad. You see, I've spoken to loads of people like this. People who, when you confront them with God's law, they say, oh, yeah, but I'm not that bad. When you confront them with the fact that they are going to be meeting God one day and give an account of all that they have done, they believe wholeheartedly that they'll be in heaven because they compare themselves with the openly wicked in this world and think that I'm okay. And my friends, I'm not just judging you. I was one of them. I was like you. I was like this brother. I too sought to do my best. I lived and grew up in a church, in a family where I was blessed and I was so close because I knew the word. There was never a time that I didn't believe that God existed. There was never a time that I didn't know the commandments, that I didn't try to obey them. And yet I would look around me at my school friends and think, I'm not like them. Surely I'm okay. And yet I was still outside. And if I was taken from this earth at that stage, I would have remained outside. You see, what was this older brother missing? What was I missing? What are you missing today? Well, it's humility, isn't it? It's a true view of one's heart, of oneself. A true estimation of our obedience and how good we are. You see, this man thought that he had been perfectly obedient. And yet we see here that his heart wasn't aligned with his father's, was it? He didn't love his neighbour as himself. He didn't even love his brother as he should. No, he hated his brother. He despised the fact that his father would welcome his erring brother in, his younger brother who had been so wicked. I just saw on Facebook a quote from Dane Ortland saying that Jesus was a friend of sinners. He's only contemptible to those who feel themselves not to be in that category. You see, this man, this elder brother, felt that he wasn't in that category, that he wasn't a sinner. And so many of us believe that we are not sinners. Maybe you're hearing this today thinking, well, I'm not really that bad. I'm not a sinner. I've been obedient. I'm not like those wicked, immoral people, those adulterers, those murderers, those perverted people in our society. But we have a wrong view of ourselves. We have a very low, high estimation. And my friends, believers, church, so often we have this problem too. We as believers think that we are righteous in ourselves, that we are able to work and do, and we look down on people. We think, thank God I'm not like them. When people come into the church, we pity them and we look down upon them because they have done so much wickedness. Especially when they are saved and then they start to be used by God, we wonder, we think, well, how can God use them? So we can display this same self-righteousness as this elder brother. And we must welcome those who Christ welcomes, those who Christ forgives, those who Christ makes sons in his kingdom. We must welcome. And also thinking of those who have slid away, who have backslidden, who have fallen greatly from grace, and they've exited the church and done wickedness, and then in humility like that younger son have come in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness. How hard we find it to forgive and to welcome back. Well, my friends, we must, as our Father welcomes back, as the Lord Jesus Christ forgives, so we must forgive. And so we see his privileged position, his self-righteous heart, and thirdly, his misplaced affections. His misplaced affections. We see a great issue here. We see though he was very close, his heart wasn't right. And this was shown in his misplaced affections. Notice what his desire was in verse 29 again, but the second part. He says, "And yet you never gave me a young goat. Why? To make merry with his father? To feast with his father, to spend time with his father and his father's people in his father's house? No, that I might make merry with my friends." My friends out there in the fields, in the world, I want to spend time with them. I deserve it. You see, he didn't want to, his desire wasn't to get to know his father more. To get to know his father better, to spend quality time with him, to sit down and eat with the father, which would have been a great blessing, to celebrate with his father's household. No, his desire was to be with his friends. Where is your desire? Is your desire to know God better? Is your desire to feed upon his word and to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to love him? Is your desire to come and meet with God's people and to sit around his word and to worship God together? Or is your desire to be out there, to earn a name for yourself, to have lots of friends? Maybe this man was concerned that should he spend too much time in his father's house, he'd lose his friends. And maybe that's a stumbling block for you today. Maybe you just so desire to have friends and then think well of you, and for you to go out there and go to their parties and to have parties for them, that they may look well on you. But no, if you are truly loving God, if you truly love the Father, you would be like that younger son who, though he has gone his own way, would enter in and love to be in the Father's house. Relish the opportunity to be there, to enjoy the Father's presence, to make merry with his Father's house, to feast with his Father, to subject himself to the Father's rule, as that younger son did. And so we see the Pharisees making a name for themselves, being concerned with the outward appearance, wanting to look good in front of all their friends, wanting to earn a good name. We read that when the Pharisees prayed, they prayed on the street corners out loud so that people would see them and think, wow, what great men, what great people of God. And so often we can be like that, can't we? And yet they had no love, no desire to be obedient to your Father because of what he has done for them. Their heart was in the wrong place. Their affections were misplaced. And so we see this picture drawn out. And so many in the world today, so many who are so close, who sit in our pews, who have grown up or have have entered in over the last few years, who have been integrated into the fellowship and who know so much, yet their heart is in the wrong place. Their affections are misplaced. They are merely worried about the outward appearance, and their affections aren't upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are your affections? Where are your affections today? Are they with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they with his people? Or are they in the world outside? We see this younger brother who had so much, who had such great opportunity as those Pharisees who knew the word of God, who knew that there was a Messiah coming, and yet they rejected him. Who knew so much, who had great opportunity, as so many in our church, as so many in our country who has grown up with the influence of the word of God, and yet they reject. And yet we see such mercy, such grace. I don't know what is worse. A son who openly, blatantly disobeys you and goes his own way and yet comes back repentantly, humbly. But he's not underhanded, is he? But yet we see here this elder son so underhanded, so hypocritical, outwardly looking like he loves the father, outwardly looking like he wants to please him, and yet inwardly just trying to earn his place that was rightfully his if he just took it, if he just came and trusted his father and loved his father. I don't know what's worse. And when his father was gracious and brought again his younger brother in, he was angry. He had hatred welling up in his heart that he was bubbling out in anger. And yet we see here the father's gracious pleading. Look with me in verse 28. We see the brother saying, being angry, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. He pleaded with him. We see the younger son coming, and we saw the father running out to greet him, to cling to him. And we see that this is a great condescension, a great mercy and love of the Father. And yet here we see once again, though there was hypocrisy, though there was lack of love for the Father, yet the Father went out once again and pleaded this time with his elder son, come in, come in. He could have just sent a servant, couldn't he? To say, come in, what are you doing? Or he could have just shut the door and said, well, fine. Fine. Let him just stay out there then. If he doesn't want to come in, if he doesn't want to celebrate with me, if he doesn't have the joy that I have to welcome this sinner home. And yet he went out. He went out and he pleaded with him. You see, this elder son approached. We see the Pharisees approaching the Lord Jesus Christ to learn of him, to hear his words, to seek him, to try and understand who he is. And yet when they saw him receiving the sinners, they grew angry in bitterness and would refuse to enter in and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, maybe when you see your brothers and sisters, your cousins, your friends that have grown up with you in the church, becoming Christians, being baptized, there is a bit of you that is pleased for them. But when you hear of such wicked people, people who have been so low in society, drug addicts, immoral people who had been promiscuous, who had been adulterers, who had been murderers, who had been terrorists, who had been all of these openly wicked things that society looks down upon, that you look down upon and you would think, I would never be like that. When you hear of them being saved, what do you think? I remember before I became a believer, before I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I saw people being saved and going through the waters of baptism, there was part of me that longed for that. But also part of me that just sought to live a good life, that I may be welcomed into the church, welcomed into the kingdom of the Father. But when I heard of these IRA terrorists, or these people that are converted in prison that have been convicted of heinous crimes, there's something that welled up in me thinking, well, that's just not fair. Why would God do that? We display this same indignation and hatred as these Pharisees, because we do not have the same heart as the Father. Because we believe that we are okay and it's just not fair. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to draw sinners to repentance. My friends, we are all sinners. Even though you may feel that you have done your best, you have not kept the law to the T. Though you may be deceiving yourself as this son, you cannot earn a place in the Father's house. You must come with humility, with repentance, with faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ is this Father comes out to you today. Though you think that you're righteous, though you think that you should be there, he comes out to you and pleads with you, come in, come in, come into my home, come into the perfect rest that I have earned for you. You cannot earn it for yourself. You must lay all your righteousness aside. They are but filthy rags. And come, come in, come into the celebration of the Father's house, of my house, who receives sinners both completely outwardly wicked and those who are outwardly moral. You can come in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what the Father said, Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There's this picture here that the Jews, they were welcome. They were God's people. They could come if they only received the Lord Jesus Christ. And you who have been raised in the church, you who have sought to live a good life, are so close. And he says to you, come. All you need to do is come. Come to me today. The Lord Jesus pleads through me with you today. Don't get left outside. This man was left outside. But he needn't have been. And indeed, this brings me to my last point, that open ending. We see this wonderful open ending. You see, it just ends, this parable just ends abruptly with verse 32. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We see no response from the Son. We don't know whether the Son stayed outside or entered in. We do not know whether he confesses and says, "I'm sorry, Father. I'm so sorry for my lack of love, for my hypocrisy. I want to obey you. I want to love you. I confess my sin before you and I come in and welcome my brother home and celebrate." No, Jesus leaves it on a cliffhanger. I wonder if you've ever read one of those books that you can buy that has alternate endings. I've read one of those books once before, and you can choose which ending you like. You read them both and you think, okay, that could have ended if that happened, if that scenario was played out. But if this decision was made, this scenario was played out. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ presents us with here. If this man humbles himself, if this elder son humbles himself, he could enter in. He could come in the joy of that party of the household of his Father. And you too, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, if you see the Lord Jesus Christ pleading with you, saying, "Leave those affections in the world behind. See your heart as it truly is. Be not self-righteous anymore. Take hold of that great privileged position that you have in knowing about me. And lay hold of me and come in." Or you can reject him. Just think of that. Being so close and yet so far. Reject him and stay out in the fields, out working as hard as you possibly can to please the church, to please the world, thinking that you can do your best and be good enough and yet be lost at the last. And so what is your response? What is your heart? Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1-4 says this: "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." See, if you neglect this, you will not escape. If you neglect this great salvation as this elder son, you will remain outside and you will be condemned forever. So what will the end of the story be for you? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and pleads with you to come in, will you reject him? Or will you respond to him in repentance and faith today? If the worst happened and you died today, what would be on your gravestone? Would it say, "Here lies a person who knew so much, who was very good, who lived so well, and yet believed that they were good enough to enter heaven?" Or will it say, "Here lies the person who, though outwardly good and lived a good life, realize their need to go to Jesus in repentance because their heart is full of sin. And when they went to Jesus, they found forgiveness and entered his kingdom. There's one of two ways. Either coming in humility and faith as the elder son could, as the younger son did. Or there is rejection as the elder son seemed to have and the younger son could have and died in sins. Yet we see here the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ in going out, in seeking the lost to save them. Come to him today. Oh, the depths of the love of Jesus that he should do this. Well, we could sing, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of his love, leading onward, leading home to my glorious rest above. Come to him today, while there is time, while he may be found, and enter in to that house. Enter into the kingdom of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you, Father, that there isn't a complete and utter rejection of those who knew so much. They are welcome to come. And Father, I pray that you would humble them today as you plead with them, that they may come, that they may see their sin before you, that they may come. And Lord, we pray also for us your people. So often we have cold hearts. Our hearts are not aligned with yours. Oh, Father, I pray that we may grow in love for you, that our affection may be wholly upon you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would forgive as you forgive and welcome in all those who you would save. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would do a mighty work in our midst in these days. Through Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.